Hurricane Charley blew through Central Florida. How many have heard of Hurricane Charley? At least many of you have. Destroyed many things, but most of all families and lives. Some of the hardest hit areas were in the mobile home parks where many seniors, retired seniors, resided. I cannot imagine what it must be like to lose every single thing that you have. Things that you have worked for all of your life destroyed. I only have a slight idea, just an idea of what that must mean. On the way from Andrews, we routed our plane and visited my Aunt Louise in South Carolina. Many years ago, Aunt Louise lost her house. It burned down to the ground, lost everything. But miraculously, and the blessings of God, the church members rebuilt their house. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? That's people. They're good people still on this planet. And I remember after the house was reconstructed or a brand new house was built, visiting Aunt Louise. But now, 30-some years later, as I visited her, she has exactly the same things in that house. Nothing has changed. Nothing has moved. Nothing has come in. Nothing has gone out. And that only makes sense in the context of the fact that she lost everything and the members rebuilt her house. So everything is exactly like it was many years ago. I know how important it is to have a place to live and the necessities of life, food and clothing and transportation and a decent shelter. They're very important things. Wouldn't you agree, Fallbrook? And I want to say, I want to put a disclaimer at the very beginning. That's always bad news for those who are studying homiletics to make a disclaimer at the beginning of your sermon. But I must do this. I am not against people having possessions. I am not against people who are wealthy. In fact, I want God to bless you mightily in possessions, in things, in wealth. I've just stood up here a few minutes ago and said that we want to build the buildings and pay for them. So I know you need to be blessed. So I want to say that at the beginning and get that in. I want everyone under the sound of my voice to be blessed by God. In fact, I appreciate people who are wealthy. In fact, there are many good people who have been blessed of God. And in fact, if there was not for the fact that there were people with means and skills, many of us would not have jobs. So don't ever down people because they are wealthy. Amen? In fact, I appreciate the entrepreneurial spirit that's in our nation. With that said, now, there's something wrong in this country. Jesus speaks to the problems in Matthew chapter 12, if you would turn there. He spoke to the problem several thousand years ago, and it applies to us today. God in his wisdom, we know Luke chapter 12. In fact, I'm going to show you how well you know Luke chapter 12. In fact, you probably know the entire chapter and didn't know you knew it. Let me read some familiar verses from chapter 12. And I say to you, my friends, verse 4, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Most of us have heard that passage. Verse 7. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Most of us know that passage. Very familiar passage. 8 and 9. Also I say to you, whosoever confesses me before men, Him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Verse 10, you know that one. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. We preach that. You know that passage. And 11 and 12, just to show you, now you just about all know all of 12 already. 11 and 12, the Bible says, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you shall answer or what you shall say. For the what, everybody? The Holy Spirit will do what? Teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. How many have heard those passages before? Let me see your hands. Most of the people here and most of the people here today have heard those passages. Well, God knew that we'd read chapter 12, so he put this story in here, and we know this story. I'll read it from the New American Bible, starting at verse 16. There was a rich man who had a good harvest, and he said, "What shall I do?" He asked himself, "I have no place to store my harvests." "I know," he said, "I will pull down my grain bins and build larger ones. All my grain and my goods will go there. And then I will say to myself, you have blessings reserved for years to come. Relax, eat heartily, drink well, enjoy yourself." Truth be told, I want those same things. My prayer is that in 6 years or so, that I can retire and be just that. And some of you feel the same way. But the disturbing part of this passage, he calls this gentleman a fool. I don't know, he sounds like pretty good a financial plan, good stewardship. If you don't put the rest on there, something is wrong. There are not many places in the Bible, but this chapter has several, where Jesus says, beware. Here is one of the passages. You might want to note that. He says, beware, take heed. Must be important. Most frightening warning to contemporary man, I believe, is right here in this passage. And then we read on. It says, "You fool." That very night, the man's life was taken from him. Jesus says, watch out. Beware. Be on your guard against all kinds of covetousness or greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's why I made my statement at the beginning. A Christian writer, A.W. Tozer, said this: God's gifts now take the place of God, and the whole course of nature is upset by the monstrous substitution. Why hasn't the church, the broad church, not just the Adventist church, the broad church condemned the popular era of the misuse of gifts and possessions? Well, one reason I believe is because we have not embraced what we should embrace, and that's the title of my message, The Theology of Enough. The Theology of Enough. One of the problems, I believe, in this story is because things are not evil. It's a hard concept to grasp. It's not like stealing and adultery and killing. Only the love of things is evil. Only the love of money is evil. Things are not evil. Money is not evil. And money is necessary. Wouldn't you agree, Fallbrook? If you don't have any, you'll find out that it's necessary. Money does seem to meet our needs for transportation, to buy food and shelter, and I believe we need possessions, we need money. Why did Jesus have to say more about money issues than prayer? Didn't you know that? More about money issues than about praying. I think God knew something. He knew that it would apply to today. The theology of enough. You see, buying has become a national mania. According to studies, one half of all shoppers experience an irresistible compulsion to buy. You go to the mall with nothing in mind, and you return with a carload. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to say amen to that, but it's the truth. We go to the mall and we pull out one of the seven credit cards. That's the average household. Some of you got 10 and 12 and 13. The average household has seven. You pull out those credit cards, and I want you to listen to this. We look around, and we find ourselves surrounded by possessions that we do not own. Did you get that? I know I wasn't going to get any amens today, Corin. I just know it. No amens today. There's a new paradigm that's emerged today. We're poor because of the things we have. Think about that. Did you get that? We live from paycheck to paycheck. And a family researcher, Dolores Corin, found that 87% of single mothers and 66% of married women and 58% of married men list finances as the top stressors in their families. And you couple that with today when our income is stagnant and our expenses keep rising, and your dreams vanish right before your eyes. Jesus knew that. And I don't know if you heard it, but just before the sun went down, on Friday, a news report came out from Alan Greenspan. You know who he is? Federal Reserve Chairman, a lot of power. He told us that for our children, they should not count on the same amount of Social Security as your parents. In fact, he was admonishing you to come up with some other savings device. And he wants to see changed the retirement age again. If the system does not improve, some of you won't be able to retire until you're 85. You think I'm kidding? There is a problem, and most of the country is not aware. And this is not political. This just happens to be the truth. Can I share this with you? We have a problem, and we don't even realize it because we like to play politics. Do you know this country spends $1 billion a week in Iraq? Did you hear what I said? $1 billion a week. That's why you need to pray that there's a swift end to this conflict. Because we are paying for it. No, our children are paying for it. And this is not, and that was not to say that we do not support the troops. Okay? Please. I know I'll be misunderstood. All these things can affect our spiritual life, our family life, our church life, And I believe that there is an answer to the dilemma that we find ourselves in. The answer is to embrace the theology of enough. What is that? What is that, Pastor? It's plain old contentment. Philippians chapter 4, turn there if you would. Verses 11 and 12, Philippians chapter 4, theology of enough. This idea is not mine originally. There's a book that was required reading for me this past summer. It was written by a medical doctor by the name of Richard Swenson. It's called Margins. He speaks about this and many others. If you are in the medical field, you need to read this if you haven't. It's a classic. Margins. We don't talk about contentment anymore. Someone says that contentment is a cause without a constituency. It's a virtue without a voice. No one talks about it, let alone recommends it. We rarely have books on contentment, and you won't hear sermons about it. But I want you to embrace contentment, the theology of enough. Because, let me read Philippians 4. I'll just start at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what, everybody? Content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And you know, this is one of my favorite texts, and I never connected with contentment. But he said, I can do all things through who? Christ. Through Christ that strengtheneth me. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What did I say, everybody? Godliness with contentment is great gain. You want to get that. That's really what the theology of enough is all about. We want to please God by accepting from God's hand what he sends us, because he sends me, I'll take. Y'all didn't get that. Whatever he sends me, I'll take. Contentment is freedom that comes whether or not we have prosperity or poverty. It does not matter. I'm going to accept whatever you give me, Lord. And I want little. I shared in my first service that the Lord has blessed my wife and I with a beautiful home. Not extravagant, but I believe it's a nice home. I believe that it's a blessing from God. I appreciate it because it's for my family. And of the 34 years that my wife and I have been married, and I really thought about this as I was formulating this message, my wife has asked for very little over those 34 years. And you know what happens? When you ask for little, now y'all, you got to get this. If you don't get this, then you know why you're here. When you ask for little, it seems like you get much. In fact, I just want to do and do and do. My wife and I say that our house is the money pit. But it's more than that. She asked for very little, and I want to give so much. How do you think God feels? The more we choose for contentment, the more God sets us free. The more he sets us free, the more we choose contentment. That's the just be content and God bless. blessed you. Have you ever blessings on top of blessings? Some of you know what I'm talking about. In fact, the blessings come so regularly till you almost feel guilty. You not feel guilty, feel blessed. First, and possessions. God comes first, and then possessions. You can put possessions wherever you want on your scale. Possessions are to be used, not loved. It's easy to say, I don't love things. God is what you need. You use. So why tell it? Why preach about this? Just have a problem. Some we, but marketing experts are not teaching that to our children. And they think things are more important. In fact, they think things are more important than God. And I'm here to tell you, it's not true. So learn to be content, whatever the circumstance. Several years ago, there was a woman by the name of Osceola McCarthy of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. She's passed away. She worked as a washerwoman for over 75 years. She amassed a fortune of $250,000. That's a lot of money anywhere, but especially in Mississippi. She donated $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi to help educate future leaders. The story is told of Mrs. Nguyen Thi An, a Vietnamese lady. Brent, I want you to come to the piano if you just play something for me softly. Read the story. She was a pastor's wife. They were a pastoral couple. And in Vietnam, their church was closed by the police, and her husband was taken to prison. She didn't have the official papers that were needed, and so she and her children were forced to live on a balcony outside of an apartment. And she writes Dr. Swenson about her experience, and I want to read this to you. She said, "You know, around here we are experiencing hardships, but we thank the Lord He is comforting us and caring for us in every way. When we experience misfortune, adversity, distress, and hardship, only then do we see the real blessing of the Lord pour down on us in such a way that we cannot contain it. We have been obliged recently to leave our modest apartment, and for over 2 months have been living on a balcony. The rain has been beating down and soaking us, and sometimes in the middle of the night we are forced to gather our blankets and run to seek refuge in a stairwell. Do you know what I do when that happens? She says, I laugh and I praise the Lord because we can still take shelter in the stairwell. And I think of how many people are experiencing much worse hardships than I. Then I remember the words of the Lord. To the poor, O Lord, you are a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. Isaiah 25:4. I do not know what words to use in order to describe the love that the Lord has shown our family. Now listen there. She's sleeping on the balcony in the rain. I can only bow my knee and my heart and offer to the Lord words of deepest thanks and praise. Although we have lost our house and possessions, we have not lost the Lord. And He is enough. Y'all missed that. Oh, hallelujah. He is enough. With the Lord, I have everything. The only thing I would fear losing is His blessings. Oh, Fallbrook. Can you praise the Lord for your blessings? So why should we complain? Should anyone who is here today have anything to complain about? We have not embraced the theology of enough. We have not learned to be content. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to be content. There's a story. I just got to say this before I leave. A man was looking depressed. He was looking like he was at the end of his rope. So the man asked him what was wrong. He says, well, just 3 weeks ago, my aunt died and left me $100,000. He said, well, that's terrific. And then without a hardly a pause, the man said, well, and just 2 weeks ago, another relative died and unexpectedly left me $500,000. So he says, unbelievable. He said, but that's not all. And I'm reading this. I'm not endorsing this. All right? I'm going to let you know before I read it. And only last week, I won $3 million in the lottery, all taxes paid. I'm reading and not endorsing. At this point, the friend was annoyed. He said, what's wrong then? Why are you so down in the dumps? And this is what he replied. I hope this will make the point. So far this week, I've received nothing. Y'all laughing. We do that. God blesses us 1 week, and the next week the same people are looking so down, coming dragging in the church. You think God is pleased? God knows what's wrong with us. That's why Jesus put that in Luke chapter 12. He knew that because of this world and how the world molds us, that we would not have the spirit of contentment. We as a nation of people ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth if things make us happy. But things will never make you happy. Only Jesus will satisfy. Oh, young people, if I could pour that in your mind, I would. Only Jesus really matters.
secretly. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share it. Some things you got to share with the family. You know that my wife and I went to Andrews, and my wife stayed in a hotel near Andrews, and I went to school. After spending our time there, we settled up and paid the bill with our credit card. You need to have a credit card. All right, tell you that. You need to have a credit card, because if your bags are overloaded and you're at the airport, they said, I want to swipe your credit card. That's what they did. You'll need a credit card. But this is what happened to our credit card. After paying our bill to the hotel, which we could afford to pay, and I put it on my credit card. I could afford to handle it, I thought. I received my bill a few weeks later after I got home. And there was a few extra charges on my credit card in the amount of over $4,000. And if that wasn't startling enough, as I was trying to get that off of my card, it was not my charges, another $4,100 ended up on my card. And so that's what I'm dealing with now while I'm home. $8,200 worth of charges that are not mine. So you can have a credit card in this world that's not maxed and find it maxed over the max overnight. You can't put your trust in anything but Jesus. Not in possessions. So I've been spending this past month on the phone trying to get it rectified. And guess who they want to pay? It's me. It'll work out. I'm working it out. Folks, I'm telling you what I know. You can't put your trust in things or people. You can put your trust in Jesus. Amen. He will never get it wrong. I'm laughing about that because I can. Why? Some of you would have lost your mind over that, right? You'd have been so depressed you couldn't have come to church. You'd have blamed it on God. But I love my Lord. He's been too good to me. Because I believe in the theology of enough. And you know something? I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to get blessed over that. Oh, help me, Jesus. I don't know how. It makes no sense. But I just know God has a blessing around the corner somehow for that. I know him. I know how God works. I know how good he is. I'm just going to be content. I'm content because I know him. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Do you know him? I'm content because I know him. Do you know him? You ought to get to know him. That's the God that I serve. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. You're great God. Lord, you want us to learn a lesson today that the nation will never tell us. That things are not important, but you are. Because you can require of us our lives. We don't know how long we have. So, Lord, what we need to first of all do in this life is to make things right with you, to give our hearts totally and unreservedly to you. Then we will be content. We will have everything that we really need. Because when we pass this earth, we can't take one piece of possession with us.
but we can take our characters. So mold us and make us after your will. And we thank you for contentment that comes in knowing you. The theology of enough is that you are enough. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Are we still friends? Talking about people going to the mall, you can make a lot of enemies, right? Amen. I want to conclude our worship.